series. 104.5 The Zone.
Getting you set for a weekend of sports with former UT coach Doug Matthews.
This is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
The Zone.
Well, the NFL draft continues. Titans have had, two so far, didn't have a third-round pick. We will pick that up today. Of course, you'll be getting all the information from that. A little about anywhere you look. What did I notice last night? Ratings, for the first night at least, were through the roof again. A lot of that had to do, I'm sure, with Johnny Manziel not be getting picked earlier. We'll talk about that just a little bit later with Tony Barnhart. Let me set the show up for you today. Tony will be on with us here this segment. We'll be on through the first segment of the second hour. Charles Davis will not be with us today. If you've been watching the NFL Network, you know that, well, he's been doing pretty yeoman work up at the draft. So he is tied up today, but we have a lot to talk about today. As I mentioned, the SEC doing very well, at least in the first round, 11 first-round picks, three of those from the Texas A&M offense, which I guess would lead to a couple of things. Number one, you would think they would take a kind of a step back a little bit, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle. And a little surprising on that, I guess, maybe, in that Manziel that was not the first. He was the third of those picks. So, anyway, let's do this. Let's talk with a guy that knows all about it. Tony Barnhart joins us. Tony, brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. You're just a pooch spun away from a Stroud store. And about this time of year, we start talking about the smoked, stripped, and shipped. Shipping it out from Stroud's Barbecue anyway, where in the United States. We'll be discussing that in future weeks. And Tennessee Steel Haulers, where they remind you, you can go online at idrivetsh.com. idrivetsh.com. If you're a driver, they got a great situation for drivers who are interested in talking to the folks at Tennessee Steel Haulers. Tony, how are you today?
Doug, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's a little rainy day in Atlanta, but we can use the rain.
Are you one that watches the draft intently? I know you certainly follow pro football, but much more, of course, in the college realm. And if you do watch it, do you watch it more from a standpoint of where players are going, what teams are doing, or where players are going and from what college teams they came from?
Yeah, I don't watch the draft at all to see what teams are improving themselves. That's not my interest. My interest is guys that I followed or covered and stuff like that, where they're going, how many guys are going from the SEC and the ACC, which are the two conferences I'm most familiar with. Guys that I watch, guys who come out early and where they get picked and wonder who's giving them advice, stuff like that. But I'm more conference-oriented and college team-oriented than the NFL.
You know, talking about coming out early, and let's get into this, some numbers that you put together. One, I'm hoping is a misprint, but I don't think it is. 11 players taken in the first round. Number one, the record for the Southeastern Conference is 12. Now, we're talking about Southeastern Conference players here. And then, Tony, though, in the first three rounds, a total of 23 SEC players taken so far, I believe.
Yep.
That number's down quite a bit.
Well, the 63 were taken in, what is it, seven rounds of the draft or whatever it is like that. 63 were taken last year. 23 is probably a little low for three rounds, but it's interesting how many SEC guys get taken in those final three or four rounds as they're looking around. You know, at that point, you're taking players who you hope will help you, and a lot of SEC guys get taken there. But 11 in the first round after 12 last year is pretty strong.
Kind of looking at who has not been drafted yet, and of course the one that the area we always look at is the quarterback position. Of course, Manziel gone, but the three other, what a lot of people consider top quarterbacks, McCarron, Murray, and Mettenberger, the 3M, the M&M boys,
yeah.
Boys in there. I don't think any question all will be taken at some point, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a little surprised that I thought Murray would be like a third rounder somewhere, so I'm a little surprised that he has not been taken. Same thing for McCarron, given his height and things. But, you know, the NFL guys, and I've learned this over the years, is they look at things a lot differently than we do. I mean, McCarron's got two national championship rings. Murray's the all-time leading passer in the SEC. Zach Mettenberger, of course, you know, is the prototypical 6'5 guy with a big arm. But those guys, the guys in the NFL look for different things. But I still think all three of those guys are going to be drafted.
Well, and a couple of things on that. Certainly Murray and Mettenberger, the injury situation to a knee, I'm sure played into that somewhat. And the other part of it is, and I've never really understood exactly what the pro guys are looking for, but the other thing that plays into that is because they spend so much time doing it, they also kind of have a pretty good idea where players are going to go, and they know when they have to wait and when they can wait. No wait for the first-round draft choice, the first pick of the first round, and no big surprise either, I don't think.
No, and as you talk to people, as we got closer to the draft, it became pretty clear what was going on. The Texans were going to ask a lot for the first-round pick. And if they got it, they would make the move. If they didn't get it, they were going to take Clowney because he was clearly the best player on the board. I just believe this kid is a once-in-a-generation physical freak who can rush the passer, and I just don't see how you can pass. You can't pass on a guy like that unless you get what you want. In terms of other draft picks.
Tony, talking about that, and it's getting to be this way, quite frankly, in college ball, in the NCAA also. But, you know, obviously a quarterback, if a young man is a great quarterback, if you got a great quarterback, if you got a Peyton Manning, if you got you know, in the NFL, and it goes down now to what teams are doing in the NCAA, that's going to give you a chance. On the other side of the ball, though, there's a lot of key positions, certainly cornerback, the way the ball's being thrown, a lot of other areas, but a rush defensive end or outside linebacker, depending on the scheme, is I think, somewhat of the – there's no equivalent to a quarterback on offense, outstanding quarterback, but it's very close for the very reason that you know, you got a quarterback if you got somebody that can chase him down. And if you – I tried to the last week or so as I was looking – that Clowney and what was going to happen in the draft. I was trying to think of players who you mentioned him being a once in a generation player. And I think if you go back and look, he is, you know, Javon Curse, who of course played with the Titans, out of Florida, but he didn't have the body build. He was a, you know, kind of just a pure rush guy, and probably had about the speed, and from a speed rush standpoint. But you watch Clowney and some of the things they did with him at South Carolina, particularly his freshman and sophomore years, moving him around, quickness inside. He could play a defensive tackle, you know. He would be a little light, but he certainly is big enough. But I was trying to think, and I guess my question to you is: can you think of, other than Curse, another player who has come out certainly from the Southeastern Conference, but maybe even for the country? Lawrence Taylor, I guess, would be somewhat, although he wasn't as tall as that. But my point is kind of making the point you were making. There's not many players come around like this guy.
No, I mean, with the size and the speed and the ability to not only rush from the edge, but absolutely he can make all the moves. He can run over a blocker. He can run around a blocker. He can swim underneath. I saw him do that in a game with Georgia. He sacked the quarterback four different ways in that same game. And, you know, all the issues about his work ethic and all that, I just believe that that's what you pay coaches to do, particularly in the NFL. And I just have a feeling that he is going to take being a pro very, very seriously. And I thought he took the college game seriously, but I just think the pros are going to able to help. I think they're going to help him a lot. And I know the head coach at the Texans, Billy O'Brien, really well, and I think he'll have a good career there.
Well, he was certainly fun to watch. I wanted to ask you about this today, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. Let's think back here a couple of months or so ago. Coach Spurrier was asked about Clowney, and to me at least, and I don't know the exact wording, Tony, you might. But to me, at least, when they asked him about Clowney, he kind of gave the impression that he didn't work real hard. Is that fair to say? And do you think that that's the way Steve meant it, or that's the way he felt? And if it was, it was kind of an odd thing to say about a player who had played three great years for you.
Right. It's two things there. Number one, he was asked the question in the context of Marcus Lattimore, okay? And Marcus, nobody in that program has ever worked harder than Marcus Lattimore. to come back from those two knee injuries. He was an inspiration to everybody. And so when he was asked to compare Jadeveon Clowney to Marcus Lattimore, he was sort of making the issue, well, you know, nobody's like Marcus. But it came across as though he was saying that he didn't work hard. Then Coach Spurrier, like a day later, said, no, that's not what I meant. Because, hey, we won 11 games all three of the years that Jadeveon Clowney was with us, okay? So I don't want to give that impression. So it's one of those things where you get caught in the context of the question because they were asking about Marcus Lattimore, and Coach Spurrier wanted to correct that. That was certainly not his intent because I talked to him about it.
Yeah, that was the way it kind of came out, I thought,
yep.
though, didn't you?
Yep.
So, yeah, looking down the draft on this, of course, we talked about A&M having three, or I talked about you. We hadn't talked about it yet. A&M, three first-round draft choices. No big surprise there. Jake Matthews. You know, I don't know. Is there a family in any sport that is, if you go all the way back to the father of Bruce Matthews, who played in the NFL, what, in the early 50s, has there ever been a family like this? And not only players, guys that played the sport, but guys that played it at a high level.
No, I don't think there's another family like it. What's interesting to me is you know, Bruce Matthews, one of the greatest players we've seen, and Jake, his son, got drafted three spots higher, which I thought was kind of cool. The Matthews going to the Falcons addresses one of their big, big needs. I just simply know that because I'm here in town.
Yeah.
So I think Matthews will absolutely start in his first year with the Falcons.
Well, and Bruce, of course, he played here with the Titans and, of course, much more time with the Oilers, then came back here and coached. The thing, too, is as good as Bruce Matthews was, and he's one of the very best, Clay Matthews was an outstanding player, too. And the other part about that, of course, Clay, a linebacker, his brother for all those years. Mm-hmm. And the other part about that is, Tony, that you have to look at, I think, if you're looking to draft a player, is they didn't miss ball games. I think Clay Matthews still has, both he and Bruce at their position, still have the longest unbroken starting streak in the NFL, I believe. But Greg Robinson, offensive lineman, goes to the Rams, too. Jake Matthews, A&M, of course, an offensive lineman, goes to the Falcons. Mike Evans, who was, I think, a redshirt sophomore.
I think that's right.
A young man who had redshirted. He goes to the Bucks. A guy that I'm really anxious to see play. I love this kid, just watching him play. Odell Beckham Jr., highest drafted Louisiana LSU player in history, by the way. He goes to the Giants. And, Tony, the thing that he brings, he's about – you know, he's one of those guys, he runs so fluid that you know he's fast, but he doesn't look as fast as he really is because he's so fluid. I think the return game is where he has an opportunity to shine also.
Well, he's got the bloodlines. His dad was a very good player. His mom was a six-time All-American in track. They knew when they got him he was special. Great route runner, great speed. He will be a very good pro. They're going to find a lot of different ways to get him the ball.
C.J. Mosley, seems like he played 8 or 10 years for Alabama. I'm sure it wasn't quite that many. And by the way, on that, kind of interesting, Nick Saban's 12th first-round draft pick in the last four drafts. Pretty good in itself. Juwan James, another offensive tackle from the SEC, goes to the Dolphins. He's the 45th first-round pick in Tennessee history. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Is I don't know how they're going to get all that on the back of a jersey. Goes to the Packers, of course, defensive back. Safety, probably could play corner, probably play safety. Manziel, we've talked about the A&M. He goes to Cleveland. Dee Ford, the Auburn player that goes, defensive end. And then Dominic Easley, defensive tackle from Florida, who missed, he was hurt. He only played four or five ball games, I think?
That's right. Really, that when they lost him, they lost their leader on the defensive side of the ball last year.
Kind of interesting, too, and this is something Tony pointed out. I always like to see what pro coaches draft what players, and it's very clear if you look at Bill Belichick, he likes not only Southeastern Conference players, he likes Florida players. This is what his seventh Florida player to be drafted by Belichick since he's been at New England.
He had a very good relationship with Urban Meyer. Still does. But they were friends, and they talked a lot. So that's got a lot to do with that.
Let's go to break with a question here from Adam in Woodbury. Adam, go ahead. What you got for us?
I appreciate you taking my call as always, guys. Good to talk to you. I'll make it real quick. Jadeveon Clowney, there's questions about his work ethic and all that stuff, kind of his motivation. But listen, after the 2012 season, he was clearly the best player in the country. And the 2013 season seemed so par, but if you're a 20-year-old kid and you've got everybody around you, you've got all the hype around you, you've got everybody telling you you're going to be the number one draft pick, what's your incentive to play another year in college? I mean, you're clearly the best player. And my question kind of is, should they kind of retract the rule about the 3 years out of high school? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, good point on that. Remember this, though, Adam. That's not an NCAA rule, just like
right,
the basketball
rule
is not. Those aren't NCAA or universities. That is a basketball rule. I think I'm going to have a head coach on here in a little later. I'm trying to get it worked out. But always interesting to me. I think that probably Steve Spurrier would tell you this. I think any coach would tell you this, or most would. If a young man is thinking about leaving and can, and really strongly considering, the great majority of the time he should go.
Right.
Because when he comes back, even if he's not protecting himself, he can get labeled that with just, you know, a subpar performer. So I think most of them, Tony, and you talk to them a lot more than I do from that regard, I think most of them tell them to leave.
No, you should go. You shouldn't really, if you know that you're going to be a first round pick, deadlock positive, you know that, you probably should go ahead and go. There's a lot of these underclassmen that I think would have benefited by coming back another year and improving their draft stock. But, yeah, no, it was a no-win situation for Clowney. Because after that hit against Michigan, there was no way from that point on that he could live up to what people expected of him. They expected him to dominate every single play. And at this level of football, that's simply not going to happen. You can run away from the guy, okay? You can triple-team him. So, it was a no-win situation for Clowney.
You know, talking about that, I didn't see this or hear this anywhere. The Titans drafted Taylor Lewan, and I haven't read this anywhere or heard it. Of course, that hit came against Michigan and came against whoever the left tackle was. Now, I'm not sure if it was Lewan or not.
It was.
Was it? Well, he'll be asked about that, I'm sure.
But the Michigan people will tell you that Lewan won he lost that particular battle, but on the day he won the war against Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, those other 85 snaps aren't getting replayed about every
exactly
2 days on ESPN. But anyway, I thought that was, you're right though, that put him in that put him in a first round draft choice. I think that that one play kind of exemplified that. All right, we will take a break. We'll be back on Forklift System Sports Saturday. You know, Forklift Systems has been the Nissan 9 Award winner for 23 times in their history. That means that they're one of the top 9 Nissan dealers in the United States. When the new National Convention Center was deciding who to purchase all of their equipment from, forklifts, electric jack pallets, well, it was Forklift Systems. You can find out all about them at forkliftsystems.com.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday
on 104.5 The Zone.
Can't be near the radio? Get your football fix at 104.5thezone.com.
Now, this past week, I've been talking the first time. Had an opportunity to do it this week. And again, this now has been around not quite 2 years the Grove has been open. And continues, the golf course I'm talking about now, continues just to grow and is eventually, and I think very quickly, going to be really one of the top courses in the state of Tennessee, not to mention just Middle Tennessee. The Grove, it's a private gated community. It's located about 15 miles south of Cool Springs, down 65, and you get off and take 840 towards Murfreesboro. About 15 minutes from there in downtown Franklin, about maybe 15, 20 minutes from Murfreesboro. Residential development that has, somewhere, I think, about 60, 65 homes that are either being built or have been built now. Opened to rave reviews a little over a year ago. And the centerpiece is that Greg Norvin Championship Golf Course. Features 5 sets of tee boxes for every level of golfer. You can play it from, about 5,700 yards all the way up to over 7,000 if you want to. But the community has a lifestyle that really has not been offered in Middle Tennessee with the amenities and the way it's set up before. A full equestrian program, a 34,000-square-foot clubhouse, full-service day spa, full-service men's and women's locker rooms, several different types of pools, all types of tennis courts. They even got a community organic garden that if you're into that. Miles and miles of hiking and 800 total lots featuring custom homes, and those are available from the Grove Signature Builder Program. Now, how to get in touch with them? Online at groveliving.com. That's groveliving.com. You can call them at 368-3044 and open every Sunday. Every Sunday from 1 to 4, that's the Grove. Where country living meets club lifestyle, that's the Grove.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Company Name to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Call Company Name, your local Rheem contractor, at 441-7783 today.
Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Ford continues to make history with new models like the Explorer and Escape. See them all at Mid-10 Ford. Ford Explorers, the Ford Edge, and Flex crossovers, plus the legendary Ford F-150 pickups, Ford's Transit van, and Super Duty trucks. No hype or high pressure in over 50 years of servicing customers in Middle Tennessee. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. Mid-10 Ford, your BPN Ford heavy-duty truck dealer. Find them at mid10fordtrucks.com.
This is Bruce from Tire World reminding you when you buy a set of tires from Tire World, we will rotate and bounce them free for life every 5,000 miles. Also, for every set of tires with a road hazard, we'll align your vehicle absolutely free. We're a full-service facility. Tire World, South Lowry in Smyrna, Murfreesboro Road in Laverne, and in the borough on Memorial Boulevard. Or Facebook and Twitter, or online at tireworld.us.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
When you see the happy face on our truck, you'll be confident your drain will be unstuck.
Get your air conditioning unit tuned up before summer. For just $99, Hiller checks out your air conditioning system and, this fall, your heating system. Plus, you get a complete plumbing tune-up. Have the Happy Face truck sent to your house today. Call or go to happyhiller.com.
Call a Happy Face truck today.
Well, maybe you're like me and a lot of people this time of year look to how you can improve your home, fix it up. You know, a lot of different areas, particularly maybe I own my home here now. New, it was new 24 years ago. So always time to kind of look around, see what you need to improve on. That's where American Home Design, well, that's what they're all about. Outstanding company that's been in business 38 years now, celebrating that 38th anniversary. And now through May 17th, got a few more days, about another week left on this. No interest on any of the work until 2016. Now, that is with credit approval. Whether it be sunrooms and patio rooms, products doing that, enhancing your backyard, whether it be working on the bath and the shower, they got the new wraps there. If you've got a little older home, maybe the tile's not quite the way that your wife wants it, or they can handle that. Walk-in bathtubs, replacement windows, attic energy barrier and insulation, really about anything you want to do to a home to fix it up. They can handle it at American Home Design. They are open today from 10 to 5. They're open every Saturday from 10 to 5 and every Sunday from 1 to 5. And a couple of ways to get in touch with them. Number one, you can call them. That easy-to-remember phone number, 361-6100. You can go on their website at AmericanHomeDesign.com. Or the best way, if you got a little time, stop up and see that beautiful showroom on 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. Up 65 North, get off Long Hollow Pike. You can see the showroom with the big sign on it there from the interstate. Easy to find it. By the way, while you're there, don't forget to register for that $50,000 home makeover contest. Four winners of $12,500 each. It goes throughout the year. And also, if you tell them you heard it on the show, they'll give you a $100 AHD card. That is American Home Design at 361-6100.
Get highlights from tonight's action, scores, and updates online anytime at 1045thezone.com.
Twenty-six past the hour is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the week is Forklift Systems. Talking to Dwayne Hardy over the past couple of weeks, and this has really been true for about the last, year or so, rental business right now and has been going on in forklifts has just absolutely exploded around the country, and particularly at Forklift Systems. Don't forget, three locations in Birmingham, Huntsville, and Nashville, and some folks are not quite ready to buy. Well, they have the rentals there at Forklift Systems. Industrial vehicles, aerial equipment, lift trucks, and floor scrubbers. Tony Barnhart with us. Tony, of course, brought to you by Tennessee Steel Haulers, iDriveTSH.com. That's the website, iDriveTSH.com. If you are a driver and looking for an excellent company to become a part of, go online and find out all about it. And, of course, Stroud's Barbecue, getting ready to smoke it, strip it, and ship it. And we'll be talking about that in future shows. Tony on with us again. Tony, looking at the NFL draft and a few other things that we are talking about. We mentioned the three quarterbacks have not gone yet. And as you kind of look down the list, certainly players that we know are probably going to be drafted. I can't see anybody in there, though, that Michael Sam, interesting simply because of, his story.
Sure.
Chris Davis, Auburn fans. Alabama's probably going to be glad to see him get out of there, too. He will forever be linked with that famous, by the way, I wanted to bring this up to you because this kind of reminds me a lot of that. What was the young man's name from Auburn who blocked the two punts back in the early 70s? That just passed away this past week.
Oh, David Langer.
Langer, yeah. Davis will kind of, he and Davis, I think, will kind of remember at least from Auburn fans on that. And I guess from punt Bama punt, which was the Auburn cry back then. I guess that'll be kick Bama kick, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's get to a few phone calls. Travis down in Franklin, Tennessee. Travis, how are you today?
Good, Doug. Just a question about Antonio Tiny Richardson. I'm just wondering, why did his draft status fall so low, and what is the what's the things that may have stopped him from getting drafted up in the 1 and 2 slots, and will he get drafted today? And that's all I have. Thank you.
Good question. Tony, you want me to kind of take that and lead into
it? Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of people, a lot of us thought that he might be the first Tennessee lineman to go. And obviously Juwan James went ahead of him, and you always hate it when a junior comes out. Obviously he must have thought he was going to go in the first three rounds. So I was very surprised when he did not get picked.
I've heard a lot of different things. I'll say this, Tennessee's not talking one way or the other about it. That's kind of their policy.
Right.
Juwan James, number one, has stayed around and I assume will graduate, finished his career there. He actually had a much better season last year than Tiny did anyway. Heard a lot of different things. The one of the major things has been the fact that his knees structurally probably, and when they went through the combine and then all the tests there, the theory is, at least the word is, that probably is part of it. He did not have a great year, but let me tell you what he's got. Just like we talked about Odell Beckham and speed, Tiny Richardson is huge. And Tiny, of course, is a misnomer for his size. But I would be very surprised if he's not taken. And the good thing about it is, this was kind of pointed out in the Tennessean today, Tony, one of the with the new the structure of the new contracts for the rookie contracts, really that second contract that you sign after your first 4 to 5 years, depending on where you go in the draft, the second contract that you sign is the one where you really can make the big money. And anyway,
right.
So he's going to have an opportunity. Then it'll just be a matter. He's got the size. He's got the smarts. He's got the quickness. We'll see. But I would suspect that he will be a good professional player at some point. We'll see. Terry down in Franklin. Terry, how are you today?
Hey, doing great, Coach. Hey, Tony, I've heard some talk on other stations this week about possibly teams within a division not playing each other, and that's worse than what we've got now. If you're going to have a championship game in divisions, the emphasis is playing everybody in your division and then playing as many of the other teams as you can. You can't. How do you know who not to play in your own division? I think that's a terrible idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I have not heard anything from anybody of importance who should know about anything like that. I mean, then if you want to do that, then what you should do is just eliminate the divisions, okay? There's no point in having divisions if you're not going to play everybody in the division, okay? So I don't see that happening. I don't see it as being a smart move. I think the SEC's new scheduling format, did it make everybody happy? No, it didn't. But at the end of the day, the people in charge felt it was best for the conference. So, I don't think you're going to see that happen.
Well, 12 was perfect for division play. When the Southeastern Conference went to 12 games in 1992 and went to the division play, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For several different reasons. One, you had your five division games. Then you had three other games, of course, you were going to play at that point. And we had the traditional crossover game, Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, Georgia, so on and so forth, and then two other ball games. But when you went to 14, Tony, when the conference went to 14, another conference are facing the same thing. When you go to 14 now, all of a sudden, it doesn't work out quite as well. And we have documented all the reasons why, with an odd number of games – like nine would bring, you're either playing four at home or five at home, and then the next year either four and five the other way. So they're
right.
But the compromise, which we talked about last week, I think was good. The downside of it is that you're going to have a whole class, even if they redshirt, go through the way it is right now and not ever play some of the teams from the other division.
That's right.
With 14 teams, I don't know what you do about that.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, the decision was made that while there were drawbacks to this idea, the hassles and the problems of having a nine-game schedule were too great to do it now. Like I've said, somewhere down the road, the SEC may have to go to nine games, but they felt they did not have to do it now. And that's why they didn't do it.
Well, and let's just think back a little bit. The reason why the nine-game schedule came up, it came, I think, primarily out of the commissioner's office, and it was because of the with the new playoff system coming in. If we were under the old system, I don't think it had been talked about much.
Right. It
had been talked about quite as much. But everybody's looking at how do we get that second team mm-hmm. in that four-team playoff. And that was one way to get the better strength of schedule. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, Tony. You know, of course, some of the other leagues out there are, for some reason, coaches are running in their mouth, which to me is kind of silly. Nobody really knows until we get in the middle of this thing. What the Southeastern Conference basically has done, they said, hey, let's keep what we got. Everybody likes it. Let's mm-hmm. move it down the road, or most everybody likes it. I don't think LSU's real happy with the part of it. But let's move it down. Let's see what happens down the road. And they left the door open to change it down the road. But I think they're always going to have a lot. This conference is always going to have a lot of people wanting to stay with eight games, particularly those teams who, like Georgia, we've talked about the Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky. They all got a tough uh-huh. in-state rival that they have to play. And I think most schools would like to have the ability to have three games that they could schedule. If they want to play a neutral site game, they can. If they want to play a really top team around the country, they can. So if they want to play eight home games, they can. So anyway, we'll see.
And you're never going to have a scheduling model that pleases everybody. You can't do it. And that's why you have leadership like Mike Slive to say, okay, I've listened to everybody's concerns. Here's what we're going to do.
Let's get one call in on that, the 9 versus 8. Ed on the cell joins us. Ed, welcome to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.
Good morning. Thanks, Doug. Hey, Doug, just going back to that nine game, and you know what, Doug, we've got a rival now here in Tennessee, in-state, that we need to clear up real quickly. But listen, UT's AD was in favor of the nine games, and I don't quite understand his reasoning. Can you tell me, Doug and Tony, why is it that UT's AD won in nine games? I mean, we're trying to get back to the top. Nine games in the SEC is the last thing we need right now. Can you talk about that?
Tony?
Yeah, absolutely. Tennessee, in my conversations with the Tennessee people, they felt they were taking sort of a more of a broad look at this thing for the good of the conference and for the good of scheduling. Obviously, is made simpler if you've got nine conference games. I believe that Tennessee felt that not playing nine conference games was going to hurt the league when it came to getting two teams in, because three other conferences are doing it, and the ACC might do it. So, and Tennessee's going to schedule somebody good non-conference. They're always going to do that, and proving they can do it. But I just think they took the longer view of how it was going to impact the conference.
If you look at Tennessee favored two of the proposals, they favored the nine game over eight, and they favored keeping the traditional crossover game. Those were the two big things that had to be decided and were decided. Also, and I don't know what part this plays into it, but I think it played some into it. Dave Hart, athletic director there, top two people in his administration, in the athletic administration, also guys that were with him at Alabama, and they voted pretty much like Alabama does. Now, I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but I think that Alabama and Tennessee probably looks at it the same, you know, as far as the nine game and keeping the traditional game, at least. I don't know.
And Doug, another factor I think that came in from the Tennessee and the Alabama side was that the acknowledgement that people, fans, are getting tired of paying top dollar for bad games. Okay, they just are. And the difference in attendance from an SEC game to a cream puff game is substantial. And I think they think from an attendance standpoint, this is something the conference needs to do.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from Tony from break with Tony. So stay right here with us. Again, Tony brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. You're just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store. Forklift System Sports Saturday. We'll be right back.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues next on 104.5 The Zone.
Stay with us all weekend for the best gridiron action.
All right, let's get right with Brad from Dickens Turf and Landscape. Brad, good seeing you last week, by the way, out at your new Hendersonville store. But tell us what Dickens has for us today.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. We had a great weekend last weekend up here in Hendersonville celebrating our grand opening. Got back in here on Monday. Things are rolling again, Coach. You know, we had a lot of warm weather, high sunny skies. Now we're getting a little bit of rain. It's a formula for perfect growing conditions, both in the lawn and in the landscape. And when those things start to grow, you're going to have to keep everything maintained at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. We've got the equipment solutions that you need. We've got any and everything that you're going to need, from Toro, Snapper, Snapper Pro, Wright Standard, and Walker, everything from your basic 21-inch walk-behind mower all the way up to a 72-inch zero turn, any and everything in between. We've got the piece of equipment that's going to fit your application, fit your budget, and get you done right. And also on the two-cycle side, Coach, we've got all the offerings from Shindawa, Echo, and Red Max, and on that side of it, we can get you the right piece of equipment that you're going to need to trim those shrubs, to edge the sidewalks, to keep things trimmed and neat. We've got soil amendments, we've got mulches, we've got seed, fertilizer, weed control, anything that you need for that lawn and landscape. Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply is a place to come, and whenever you need service on your equipment, whether you bought that equipment from us or not, all of our Middle Tennessee locations and our Knoxville location have full-time equipment technicians. We got stocked-up parts room. We can get you in and out in a timely manner. All your equipment needs, all your turf and landscape needs, you need to remember one name, Coach. That's Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. We are easy to find. Cool Springs, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Hendersonville, coming soon to Bellevue, open in Knoxville, at Dickens Turf on Twitter. We got a Facebook page, and as always, Coach, you can check us out online at dickenssupply.com.
Sometime between the beginning of this commercial and the end of it, someone's probably getting busted for drunk driving, because America averages another DUI arrest every 20 seconds or so, and I've already talked for 14 seconds. So, see any flashing lights? Listen, more drunk drivers are getting caught every day. If you don't want to join them, choose the back seat, not the driver's seat. Booze it and lose it.
Paid for by the Governor's Highway Safety Office.
The Beeman Collision Center wants you to know the facts about repairs. First, it's your car and your choice. Some insurance companies may attempt to steer you to another less qualified repair shop. By law, you can have your car repaired at the facility of your choice. Three misleading statements you may hear from your insurance company. They're not in our network, so we can't guarantee the repairs. False. You have to pay some incidentals. False. It may take longer to settle your claim. Not true. At the Beeman Collision Center, we want your business, and we want you to know the facts. Beeman Collision Center, downtown Nashville.
The latest rage in furniture today is power. Power recliners like the new XR and Power Motion sofas and love seats. Now at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, there's the all-new HR recliner with an adjustable headrest and lower back support. And the new Big Man recliner. The name says it all. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries has the power, the selection, and the financing in Cool Springs on Mallory Lane next to Lowe's and in the Glenbrook Shopping Center, Hendersonville, just off Vietnam Vets.
104.5 The Zone. Sports talk you can take anywhere. Stuck in morning traffic? Let the Wake Up Zone get you up to date on the day's top stories. Fire up the computer at work and listen to Dan Patrick as he brings you national headlines. The Midday 180 talks sports over your lunch break. Then let the 3HL entertain you on the stop and go drive home. Sports talk you can use every moment of the day. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Past the hour is Forklift System Sports Saturday. You can catch us each Saturday, 9 to 11, at Central Standard Time. Of course, we're heard up in Knoxville, too. And Tony Barnhart with us almost every week, about 52 of them or so. He takes a little siesta, a little trip every now and then. Tony, of course, brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue, just a pooch punt away from a Stroud store, and Tennessee Steel Haulers, idrivetsh.com. If you're a driver looking for an excellent company to work with, go online at idrivetsh.com. Tony, let's see now. The last caller asked, I forget what he asked right now.
He was asking about the nine games and why Tennessee supported, and I think I brought up the attendance issue at the end there.
Yeah, one of the things, and this is what's kind of interesting. If you talk to the, and I'm talking about Southeastern Conference athletic directors now. I think it's, this conversation, I'm sure, is going on all around the country. You know, Tony, the playing the cream puffs or the teams that you bring in. I coached a few of those cream puffs. I probably wouldn't like to have been called that, but that's what it is right now. If you talk to the athletic directors, they're not exactly sure if even another conference game. It certainly would help somewhat, but I think they're more worried about, Tony, the fact that what television has done, not only in the fact that you can watch ball games all day long, you know, we're adding the SEC network now, but the other part of it is, which can't be overlooked. If you're someone, let's just say you're an Alabama fan living in Nashville. You got about a 4-hour drive to Tuscaloosa. That is if you go in the day before, and you don't know what time the game's going to be played. Athletic directors are looking at that too. I think they are getting ready to address not only that the opponent you're playing, but also the fact with TV. And the fact that of the time, not knowing what the times are going to be many right. times until 10 days before.
No, there's no doubt that's an issue with fans, and more people are saying, you know what, some of these games that are picked on a 6-day window from time to time, and I don't know until Monday what time the game's going to start. The fans are starting to get a little fed up with that.
Number one thing still though is one loss record.
Yep.
If you're winning. And you're playing well, and your fans are excited, they're probably going to come. If not, I will say this, and I'm going to Tony and I are going to have this for a show here in the off season. I really believe this. I think that universities are looking. I know one in particular that is looking, these ones with the huge stadiums, the 100,000 ish stadiums, which most of them are in the conference now, are looking at. How they can reduce some ticket prices, mm-hmm. Particularly in upper levels, reduce or eliminate the gift that you have to be able to qualify for them. still keep their premium seats, still keep their sky boxes and their box seats and their terrace seats and the chair backs and the good ones down, you know, down below, seeing if that won't help some. I think you're going to see teams do that because schools do that because as much as they'd like to keep those ticket prices up, they realize that they have to have people there. And if they can get an additional, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 coming, I think we're going to see that. I know it's being looked at by athletic directors, certainly in this conference.
Which is why, Doug, as you see stadium renovations take place moving forward, you're really going to see if there's any increase in seating at all on these renovations, it's going to be club-level seats, luxury box suites, those kind of things. They know they're much better off trying to maximize the income from the premium seats and cut back the price, if possible, on the other seats.
Now, will that happen? Don't know. That's cutting prices is not something that athletic directors like to do or do a whole lot of. Tony, I want to get into a couple of other things. By the way, Tony will be on one more segment with us after the top of the hour. And if you'd like to join us, 737-1045. Kind of a bad story. This has been going on for quite a while. I haven't talked about it, but it made the news again this past week. Jim Donnan, former head coach at Georgia. I think he was a marshal before that, longtime assistant coach around.
Yep. In a
pretty much of a world of hurt. Being accused, at least, of, I guess, of fraud, number one. But kind of what caught my eye on this story was, and it kind of shows you the power that head coaches, major college head coaches have. $81 million was supposedly what was gone through. Now, he was, according to news reports, promising a 50% return on short-term investments, and anybody that would get into that probably should be thinking about that anyway. But you look at the list of people, a lot of former head football coaches, a lot of guys that he worked with, and this is a bad deal for a lot of people.
It is. It is. And, you know, Jim Donnan was the head coach at Georgia until 2000. He was the head coach before Mark Richt. And basically he is accused of defrauding a lot of friends, a lot of guys he worked with, guys like the swimming coach at Georgia, who's been very, very successful. I think Tommy Tuberville was on that list, and so the bottom line is there was fraud. The prosecution has labeled it as a classic Ponzi scheme where investors' money was taken in, and no wealth was generated, but new investors paid off the old investors and things like that. And Donnan has maintained his innocence from the very, very beginning. Testimony's been going on in Athens, and a lot of his people that who know Jim have testified on his behalf. But it's a bad, bad deal.
A lot of former guys who worked. Barry Switzer, he was offensive coordinator at Oklahoma for a while under Switzer. A lot of guys involved in that, and we'll see how that works out. But it's a bad situation. Again, though, to me, and this is one of the things I wanted to point out about this. If I don't think universities do enough of this. Tony, I don't think they utilize their former head coaches if the former head coach wants to be a part of fundraising for the university, not the athletic department, but the university. Because it just, you know, here's a guy that got out and essentially used what his popularity, his celebrity from being head football coach, and raised $81 million. That's pretty tough to do from not all that many people, as a matter of fact. But you look around at guys like what a Tom Osborne or a Barry Switzer, a Vince Dooley, and I don't think Georgia's used him at all. That might be kind of reciprocal on that. I don't know. A Pat Dye, folks like that, I don't think universities use those people enough.
No, they're incredible fundraisers because people instantly identify.
They can get in to see anybody, Tony.
Absolutely.
Anybody. If you're a Georgia fan that happens to have a big company, a lot of money, and Vince Dooley calls you, guess what? He's gonna be in your office if he wants.
Yeah,
to be,
so. You're gonna take that call.
Kind of surprised on that. One other. Well, let's do this. I got off on our break schedule. Jimmy's about to throw me out of the studio here. Let's take our last break of this hour. We'll come back and talk a little bit more this hour, and then Tony will be on for a whole another one. So stay right here with us. Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Your big lift every day of the week is Forklift Systems.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday.
From 104.5, The Zone.
Nashville's teams play here.
Had a cup of coffee this past week with Nate Green. Who's Nate Green? Well, Nate's a good friend, but he's also the head of Colliers International. If you're looking for the gold standard in commercial real estate, no doubt about it who it is in Middle Tennessee and more importantly in Nashville, Tennessee, that's Colliers International. Several reasons why. Certainly the synergy and the reach that Colliers International has, no other program, no other group has in Tennessee. They have the best when it comes to people who really know Nashville. Best team of professionals that have been around a long time and know what to stay away from, what to look at, know where the deals are, know what, again, where the deals aren't in Middle Tennessee. And when it comes time to for the community leaders to decide on what the future of Nashville is going to be, guess who's sitting at the table with them? That's right, the folks from Colliers International. The company, the gold standard in commercial real estate in Nashville, Tennessee, is Colliers International.
RJ Young has been a founding partner of the Tennessee Titans here at LP Field, now in our 15th year. Our football organization would not be as prepared for games week in and week out without the relationship that we have with RJ Young, with game planning, with all the different things that the team needs. RJ Young is there for your needs. They're there 24 hours a day. They're a relationship-driven company and one that we're very, very proud to have a long-term relationship with.
Hear more at rjyoung.com and make your work flow.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry of Berry's Jewelry Company of Madison, and I would like everyone listening to know that at Berry's of Madison, the answer is yes. Well, what does that mean? It means yes. Berry's does buy, sell, and trade diamonds of all sizes, shapes, and qualities. We buy large diamonds, small diamonds, and all sizes in between, and our customers tell us we pay more than anyone in town. Yes, Berry's does pay more for gold, gold coins, silver, and silver coins. Don't want to sell your jewelry? Just need a little extra cash? Yes, Berry's of Madison will make you a cash loan. We make fast, convenient loans of all sizes, from $10 up to $100,000. So whether you want to sell, trade, buy, or borrow, yes, Berry's can help. Remember, for the past 39 years, it's Berry's Jewelry Company of Madison, and always on the web at berriesjewelryco.com.
It's where you took your first steps, where you learned to ride a bike. It's where Mom taught you how to cook, and where Dad taught you how to play catch. And no matter where you are in life, it's the place you always call home. It means so much to you. That's why it matters so much to us. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Franklin American Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1599.
Do you ever think about why even the best athletes still need coaching? This is Terry Burns for the Burns Insurance Group. Even the best still need coaching. That's right. From time to time, we all need help refining our game. And when it comes to insurance, our team offers some of the best coaching you can find anywhere in Middle Tennessee. Take time out and give us a call before mayhem strikes and it's too late. Helping you is the easiest part of our job. Call today at 615-889-2033. That is 615-889-2033.
Are you someone who thinks you have a case to be made in the serious injury field? Maybe an auto accident, a truck accident, workman's comp case, something along those lines? Well, there's a group out there that can help you. Been in business over 14 years now. That's Cody Allison and Associates. Now, as I mentioned, this is a law firm of associates that know the inside and outs of serious injury cases. A couple of things Cody Allison and his team will do for you. Number one, they got an easy-to-remember phone number, 234-6000. That's 234-6000. A free consultation on anything that you want. If you think you have a case, give them a call. Let them talk to you about it. No fees will be charged unless they win your case, much less on a free consultation. And also, if you cannot come to them, well, they will be more than happy to come to see you. That's Cody Allison and Associates. Again, over 14 years providing experienced legal representation in all types of serious injury cases, 234-6000. That's 234-6000 for Cody Allison and Associates.
Want to hear The Zone on the go? Download the iPhone or BlackBerry app today. Find out more at 1045thezone.com.
56 past the hour is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the week. Is Forklift Systems. Dwayne Hardy have been there, well, I guess 27 or so years now with the company. Outstanding company right here in Middle Tennessee for industrial vehicles, aerial equipment, lift trucks, and floor scrubbers. Online at forkliftsystems.com. Tony Barnhart on with us. Tony, of course, brought to you by Tennessee Steel Haulers and Stroud's Barbecue. Tony, one other area I wanted to talk about was the we talked about the Jim Donnan situation coming out. North Carolina, and I want to bring this up kind of to look at how you can kind of prevent some of these things. North Carolina, how long has this academic talk and what's been going on and the reforms and looking into all these things been going on, what, 4 or 5 years now,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
And my point on that is this. I do not believe, and I've written about this on Chalk Talk quite a bit. Tony and I have talked on it off the air. I don't believe universities nor athletic departments do nearly enough oversight and looking at what could happen as much as they do reacting to what happens. And this is a good example. Let's just take three schools, North Carolina, Penn State, and University of Miami. If they could have gone back and had oversight and had people looking at those three completely different situations, but three things that have put them in the whole university in a bad light, if they could have gone back and done that, if Penn State would have had somebody who in an oversight authority who was looking at what was going on up there on that Sandusky deal, and that was apparent if you really wanted to see it. University of Miami, a little different situation, but a booster that was spending so much time and so much money with the university.
But they knew what was going on.
Do you think the university did?
The university?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm talking about the universities, not the athletic department.
Right.
I don't think there's nearly enough oversight, and certainly North Carolina as prior.
And for dessert, enjoy our light and delicate ginger panna cotta with fresh strawberries. This Mother's Day, simply purchase $50 in gift cards for mom and receive a $10 bonus card. Available at your local P.F. Chang's or online at pfchangs.com. See you soon.
Where Middle Tennessee talks sports. WGFX-FM, Gallatin, Nashville. 104.5 The Zone.
A Cumulus station.
104.5 The Zone.
Your zone forecast.
Brought to you by Hiller, where Happy Face Club members get 3 tune-ups at their house for just $99 each year. Call Hiller or go to happyhiller.com today.
Call a Happy Face truck today.
Good Saturday. I'm News Channel 5 meteorologist Kelly Cox. Look for scattered showers and thunderstorms across the area today. We'll see best chances in our northern and western counties, lower chances to the south in Nashville, about a 50% rain.